Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 11. I'm Hannah Norris. I'm the host. And I'm here with my husband.
Carl Donnelly, yeah. The co-host.
Yeah.
Father to be.
The helper, the sidekick.
Sidekick.
The gimp.
I'll say any of these titles, I will be happily set with for life.
Okay, great. And this is a podcast about pregnancy because that's what's happening to me in my body and to us right now. And currently at week 16 of this pregnancy, we're back in our beautiful quiet house.
Yeah, last episode. We'll introduce guests in a second. Yep. The last episode we went to Alexis Dubas's and his wife Pauline's house. And we had interviewed both of them with a toddler running around.
Yeah, which I thought was valid because, you know, the point of this is children, but it is nice to be home.
It's so quiet.
And we're here with our guest, who is a very funny lady. She's a comedian with a very deep and sultry, quiet voice. Her name's Tanya Edwards.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hello, thank you for coming over here. And we're talking to you, obviously, because you've been pregnant before.
Yes.
You have two children.
And I very, very thoughtfully left them both behind today.
Can I just say you're the first guest who actually said, no, I want to come to your house. I want a break.
We've been very like, we'll come to you. We don't want to like interrupt
I definitely do want to escape. Also, it's a different kind of vibe because if you're even in the same building as your children, they are your priority.
Yeah.
And my priority generally is to be witty and amusing.
Yeah, it was really good to be there and have their son with us. Like it's,
yeah.
But it does show you that the
you can be honest. No one will ever love your children like you will.
Yeah.
And yes.
That also will apply to other people's children.
When we saw each other at the weekend when we gigged together.
Yeah.
And you and Mike Gunn were discussing this. I mean, Mike Gunn, a comedian, basically said a sentence where he said it scares him how much he loves his children.
It's
and
insane.
You were saying, you were both sort of talking about how it's almost, if you actually sort of objectively look at it, it sort of feels creepy.
Well, it's deranged. It is a complete, it's peak derangement.
Mm.
I spend all my time thanking a God I don't believe in for my good grace and fortune until I weep with joy. It's a bit much. But
and you also, we should say, and I don't know if you won't mind me saying, but you were very tired at the weekend.
I'm very emotional generally.
At one point you cried at another comedian's set because he said something quite sort of nice on stage.
Well, he was talking about dying. He's dying and he's talking about dying.
Suffering from an illness.
He has.
Let's hope there's some developments in the...
Of course, we hope that he won't be dying, but his jokes are that he's going to be dead soon, no pressure. And then he's also telling funny jokes.
Yes.
Mm. And I was...
you had to take yourself
off for a cry. I thought it was all very amusing until I told him how funny it was. And then I had to take myself into the bathroom and just sob into the sink. But it, really weirdly, I was back there last night doing the cutting edge and at the top... we're having a meeting because it's a topical comedy show. And so people just literally whipping through the headlines before we start in case various things come up during the show, asking who's got stuff on what.
Mm.
And one of the things that came up was the fact that a child died in some IKEA furniture.
Oh, I heard about this.
And I felt the tears coming as this happened, Ian says, oh, sounds like an open and a shut case to me. And then someone else is like, top drawer. And I completely snapped out of it and I went the other way. And I was like, oh, it's just jokes. It's not because life isn't horrific, but that's not what we're talking about this evening. And it is that it is that much of a knife edge. It can literally go either way. In fact, I think I was about 1 month more pregnant than you when I... No, actually, I was bigger. Like, I must have been 6 or 7 months. Mm-hmm. But I started moving out of our flat.
Yeah. Because you were supposed to be moving out?
No, because I was angry. And this is when I was pregnant with the first one. And I was moving out, and I was too fat for anything. I was too fat for any of my clothes. So I was just packing towels. You're never too fat for a towel. And Sanjiv, he came into the bedroom. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm packing." And he said, "Yeah, I can see that. But why?" I said, "I'm moving out." And he said, "But why?" And I couldn't remember. For the life of me, I couldn't remember. And then it came back to me. It's because I've been talking over Newsnight. Yeah, and he just asked me to stop because he couldn't hear what. And that was it. I was off. Yeah. And so I don't think it's just me. I think that you've got all of this to look forward to.
I think, like, I'm generally quite stable with my emotions. Just thinking, the thing that's been making me cry at the moment is only when I read anything about the cats, the
cats?
Film. Yeah, the film Cats. And
because it's such
it's cry laugh. Yeah, it's cry laughing, and it just, I can't, it sends me absolutely over the edge, particularly when they talk about how horny the cats are. And I just spend about 2 minutes in this state of cry, like, it's so intense.
Something happened yesterday morning.
I can feel it.
You did something yesterday morning that you were convinced was weird, and you asked me if I still wanted to be married to you.
I don't remember what it was.
And it was something really minute and wasn't like, it wasn't anything. It was you did something, some weird noises.
Like coming. I made.
Somebody got a phone on next to near the.
I don't think so.
Oh, weird. That could be my mother calling me. 1 second.
We've got a little bit of feedback from your mother.
Got no idea what my phone is.
That is, it is your phone. Your phone's really powerful signal because it was quite far from the mic, powerful but it all phone. Went a bit crazy.
That's the babysitter, actually. Just I like to have constant updates on the baby. But he's fine.
Okay.
So I've switched it off.
Oh, that's,
I actually need some. I actually need some charging.
Do you want me to? Is it? I'll plug it in if you like.
I was crying. Yeah. I was crying reading that Paranoia in the Laundrette. Have you read that?
No.
It's by the guy that wrote. With Nell and I, Bruce Robinson. It's really, really short, really funny. And I was laughing reading that, and then I started to cry. This is in front of my toddler when the baby was born, like crying. I had to stop reading it because it was so funny, but I'd lost it. Mm. I lost it completely. Read that, and then you'll have two things to things to cry laughing over. Paranoia in the Laundrette.
Maybe. I had a thing. So yeah, in terms of my moods are pretty stable, but there are little bits of me that I can feel getting a bit more irritable.
Oh, it's coming.
And the other night we were just watching TV. You know, when we were watching TV, and I was just like, oh, I'm bored. I got really bored.
Yeah.
But Carl was very much like, oh, we should, like, this in a few months' time we'll be relishing this sort of moment when we're just by ourselves, quiet, watching TV. And making the most of that. And I was wondering, do you have, like...
You can't make the most of things prematurely,
no.
Unfortunately.
Do you have visions of what your life was like pre-children and things?
Fun.
That, yeah.
I don't... To be honest, the hormonal thing is going to stop as soon as I stop breastfeeding. I'm going to be so normal again so soon.
Yeah.
I just need a bit of sleep and to stop breastfeeding. But... it's just a different stage of life. I wouldn't switch it for anything. I've never, ever been happier, apart from when I'm weeping.
How old are your children?
My toddler is 3. I can't believe you shamed me like that, the top car. Toddler, is that how weepy I was? The toddler is 3, especially as I hid in the toilet so no one would have to see how...
But then you came out and it was clear. Just told me how emotional you were.
Yeah, it was evident. Anyway, so 3 is the eldest and then my baby's 9 months.
Okay. So did you have a period where you stopped breastfeeding then between...
Well, yeah. You can't get pregnant breastfeeding. Well, you can, actually. I mustn't say that because... I don't want to be responsible for any of that unprotected sex that is behind one of my godchildren. So, so you don't really get pregnant breastfeeding typically. Yeah. Typically,
yeah.
No, don't listen to me, everybody, because you're not. Everything stops.
Yeah,
the cycle stops. I mean, I don't want to be explicit. If any, I don't want to embarrass Carl here. You stop bleeding when you're breastfeeding.
I've read.
Really?
You read it all, yeah.
I've so you don't get your period while you're breastfeeding? No. So it's still even more time then, potentially, where I'm not going to have my period for ages.
Yeah. Like for at least, like, it depends how long you want to breastfeed for, but you will not get your period back and do stop breastfeeding. Now, the reason you could get pregnant is, let's say you were winding down on the breastfeeding and your hormones were kicking back in and you were going to start getting your period and you didn't realise, but you were actually ovulating, then there would be an outside chance you would get pregnant.
Right. Good to know.
And before we started recording, we told you that
you had IVF.
Which is how we got this baby.
And was it your first cycle that succeeded?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was, and we did it because I'm just turned 40, so we had the cutoff point that you had to do it. You could do it for free on the NHS before you turned 40.
And also, you know that once you have one baby, you're much more likely to get pregnant for the next.
Didn't know that I either.
So a friend of mine, 10 years,
they tried a snip.
What?
No, you want a few. you do. I want another one.
We don't even know what one's
Give
like
me
yet.
Another one now. It's impossible.
Have to stop breastfeeding.
Yeah, well, I need to do more than that. I need to stop suggesting I want another baby.
I just want one really creepy, lonely child. That's my goal in life.
I honestly, it depends on you, really. Mm. Because basically what happens is, once you have a baby, apparently it makes it much more likely to get pregnant again quickly. People say that, well, I know someone that waited 10 years to have their baby and then they finally had one and then within seconds they're pregnant again.
Right.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting because we do also have one egg on ice. One frozen embryo, that we can use later if we want to. Then it's not free then, but it's much
less
cheaper,
expensive.
Yeah, than doing.
But
the
what
full
if? Imagine, say, further down the pregnancy, you'd imagine by the end of pregnancy, you don't really love being pregnant, but then we really love having a kid. Could we theoretically get someone else to carry that embryo?
No.
Why?
Theoretically, you could, but I don't see that.
Because
who do you want carrying the baby?
Because there's loads of stuff that you're not going to like about the whole thing, and that's tough. That's the weirdest thing. I feel really violently unselfish to the point where I do feel like policing other people's behaviour.
Yeah.
It's this idea that you might not like it. And that therefore maybe you would consider getting... I know that was a joke, Carl, but it wasn't funny.
Here we go. It's like Saturday Carl's, night all over again.
Oh, she's flipped.
Carl's crying. He's going to the toilet.
And
need to get to the toilet.
Might be me. You realise there's lots of things that you don't like and you just have to put up with them.
Yeah.
That's part of the journey. And realising your own absolute irrelevance...
I haven't found, pregnancy's been fine. I've been pretty cruisy with it. So I don't see that as the future. But that was an interesting thing because only a couple of people have asked about whether we'd want a second child. And I had no idea about that being that it's much easier to get pregnant.
Not for everybody. Again, I'm not a doctor either. But I also think do it while you're in the zone.
Yeah.
So, for example, right now I'm really, really, really broody. I would happily get pregnant today.
Yeah.
Just... whip him off the tip. Well, I can't because of the vegan formula, which we can discuss later. But stop that, crack on, have another one, maybe two. And ideally a girl, but not even bothered anymore. Happily would have another boy, but wouldn't even be upset if they were twins.
Like, and do you have an understanding of what that is? Like why you feel so strongly
it's,
like you like
it's,
another
I'm hormonally insane.
Yeah.
And once you're out of this zone.
Yeah.
Then you think, what madness? Why would I go back there? So you should really have the next one close. So in the time that I had my two, a friend of mine, she had three.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of a gap. There's like 2 years, 9 months between my children. Yeah. And it was my other half actually who said, listen, it's now or never for me because I don't want to have children after 45.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have waited a bit longer.
Yeah.
And now he just turned 46 and he's like, that's it, I'm done, that's a wrap. And I'm like, no, I'm back in the zone. give me more. And but once you're out the zone, then it's hard to go back.
Yeah.
So don't wait too long. Just knock this one out, then pretty much have the next one within a year.
Ooh. season two of Keith Figures.
now Carl is looking emotional. Excellent.
No, I'm not.
I'll break you.
I'm an open book to... At the minute, I mean, I've got the easiest job alive currently. I'm just, Hannah's pregnant. I've just bought an antique pram.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at in the sort of preparation for parenthood. I'm just buying unnecessary
things. Ill thought out.
It's very
so
beautiful.
It's so beautiful. It's such a lovely thing.
It only costs £13.
eBay.
Got it on eBay.
Also, I guess you could use it for, I mean, is it safe?
100%. It's the sturdiest thing on earth. Basically, the woman I bought it off, I just saw it. I was looking at antique prams on eBay. That one was one that you had to collect, so it had like a really low starting bid.
It's very pretty.
And it's a 60s original, like beautiful red, for listeners, just to paint the picture. It looks like something from Rosemary's Baby.
It's the kind of thing you're never, ever, ever going to successfully get onto a bus.
Oh, definitely not.
I mean, it's not. I'd be surprised if it ever gets further than the park around the corner. It'd be a nice one to walk around the park. But she told
stroll ambit around the park.
The woman who sold it to me,
you're
said,
already preparing to peacock with your new baby. I love it.
I'm accessorizing. But she said
it's normally the woman that's doing
it. She used it. She didn't use it for, you know, going to the shops or anything. She said she used it for, she'd put the baby, she's got, I think she said she had three or something. She'd put the babies in it and put it out in the garden just to get some air with a little canopy. She gave us a lovely antique umbrella that goes over the top. And she said just leave them out for a couple of hours getting some air.
I was in a restaurant the other day and I met this woman. Now, what country was she from? Because it's kind of pivotal to the point. I think it was Denmark.
Yes.
One of those cold places. Mm. And they just leave the babies outside in
Finland,
the pram.
It's Finland and Sweden, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, that's big.
They
it's really
They just leave
popular.
The babies outside.
Yeah.
And they all go into the cafe on their own.
Yeah.
I didn't put my child down for 7 months. The first one, I got a papoose. It was attached to me. This is why they're all sitting on my bed. You should just listen to whatever I've done and not do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I've been reading. My mum sent me this book, which was my grandma's, which is a Mothercraft manual from the 1940s.
It says, let them cry.
There's a bit of that, not overly, but it does say that putting fresh air every day is a rule for the kids. So either having them outside or they're near a window.
You've got to leave the house. That's my top advice. Now, in China, you're not allowed to leave your room for a month. And if you have other children, they just look after them for you. They believe in the sort of confinement for that first month. And they believe it's all part of the woman's recovery
it's
and everything
about,
else.
Yeah, kind of acupuncture
really,
stuff. And Chinese medicine.
Yeah, it's really a big thing.
Yeah.
It's not even a class thing. It's not
you
even
have
if you have
yeah.
it's anybody.
Yeah.
You'll have like your mother-in-law will be there. Can you imagine anything worse? But and I love my mother-in-law. But I would say the opposite. I would say leave the house the day you have the baby.
Yeah.
Because I think I left the house on the first day I was at home.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to get out of the hospital. I was out really quickly, and then I was out really quickly. And I think that's why I was so happy, and I was so confident. I literally did change my first baby on like a windowsill in a cafe.
Carl, when we got the pram, Carl said, "Oh, we can walk the baby home from the hospital after you've
no,
given
that's
birth.
That you won't want to do that."
And I was like, "I might not be able to walk."
Yeah,
but not
I was,
sure
I
about
I was
that,
being
yeah.
a bit romantic.
It's
there,
slightly,
I thought.
That's unlikely. But
we'll just jog back.
Yeah, but then once you're also you'll have stuff.
Yeah,
so. But once you get home and you feel content, then you should immediately go around the block, even if it's just the shop, because you'll really get yourself into a pattern. And I know people that didn't leave the house for like a day, and then it became 2 days, 3 days, a week.
Yeah.
And then they hadn't left for 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it can tip you. It's like taking drugs, I imagine. I wouldn't know. And if... I've heard you take drugs and they don't go right.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck on them and you've got to ride the wave.
Yes.
Well, you are stuck on the drugs.
Yeah.
And for a long time. So you've got to just roll with it.
Yeah.
And it will either be euphoria. I mean, I was hearing choirs of angels sing. I'm not suggesting it's entirely normal.
Yeah.
But it's either going to be really high or really low.
Yeah.
And you might as well flip it to high quite quickly at the top.
Yeah.
And embrace the fact that you're on the ride, because, you know, it's it can be Also, I was very lucky with my first baby. My second baby got colic, but my first baby was
right. It's the percentage. I'm reading a book called Pregnancy for Men, recommended by Felicity Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the actual numbers of babies that have colic. The percentage is much higher than I realised.
Well, I you know this because I'm so fascinating about it wherever I go, but it was because my baby is dairy intolerant.
Yes.
So the second I stopped eating dairy, his skin went normal, the colic stopped, it was all over. But that's why I can't stop breastfeeding, because I can't give him a formula yet.
Okay, and that was so It was something a friend of mine who's expecting a baby in a couple of months, he started asking me some questions about what we're prepared, and he's loves gadgets and he's got huge lists of all the things that they're buying for the baby. And he asked about what we'd thought about for bottles and formula. And I was like, well, we haven't really. And he said, well, if you can't breastfeed, like that option in the house already. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing to think about. And then that you were saying that he's on a vegan formula.
Well, so you're both vegans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But trust me, the formulas are not nice.
Right.
Now, maybe it
what
wouldn't,
are they
maybe
made
it wouldn't,
out of,
maybe
know?
It wouldn't matter if you were doing it from the top. Well, this is a thing that I don't know. But they have, it's like weird, that one of the ones that I've got, the Neocate, tastes like soap. If you taste it, you can't get the taste out of your tongue.
No. Mm.
But it's not even just that, is that you have to throw it away within an hour. You have to do it at exactly room temperature, otherwise it doesn't activate whatever the
really?
Things are in it. And but maybe if the baby's never tried anything else, but don't forget your breast milk's delicious. Like, it is delicious. I tasted it because I can't remember why.
Because why not?
But it also changes taste according to what you've eaten.
Yeah.
So if you're breastfeeding your baby, they're going to have like a variety of flavors, aren't they?
Yes.
And if you're giving them a formula, they're only going to taste that for 6 months. And by the way, the 6 months thing of exclusive breastfeeding or exclusive formula feeding is crap. Like, my second son wanted food by 4 months.
Yeah.
Right.
He was desperate for it. He was grabbing it. He was taking it.
Yeah.
And my first son, I couldn't get him to eat food for 6.5 months.
Yeah.
He was a tit man.
Yeah. And what about the sleeping? Because we were talking before recording about the book, Why French Children Don't Throw Food.
They let them cry.
But well, yeah, what's because they say, obviously over there, they talk about how they want them sleeping through the night by 3 months, whatever.
And I really believe it works. Like, my friend, she would have this clock in her house and she would press a timer and her child would be screaming and she would not go in until the 10 minutes came. And
really?
Then she would go and comfort the baby. But her children sleep well. My toddler is still in my bed next to me and my baby is now locked into the fact that he's not in bed and he will wake up every time I put him down until I hold him again. And that's why I'm so emotional as well.
But then the book at the weekend that I recommended called They Fuck You Up by Oliver James.
Which you finally finished.
Oh, quoting Philip Larkin there. They Fuck You Up, Your Mum and Dad.
And he talks in that about the dangers of that in the sort of that. He says the first 6 months, babies are almost just purely instinctual, but 6 months to 3 years is when that sort of behaviour of leaving them be can actually be very detrimental to their future sense of self.
Well, I've heard of one child, but maybe this is an unrelated thing, smearing shit on the walls.
Dirty protest.
Yeah, and you think, is that related to being left? But
I
also think it's really not to do with that. Like, millions of people leave their children to cry and millions of people sleep well. But if you're breastfeeding, they tend to wake up more often because they need a refill.
Yeah.
So that is going to interrupt your sleep. If they're on formula, they apparently sleep better because they're more full.
Yeah.
Whereas breast milk, they're not going to be as full. But the other thing is that it depends on you.
Yeah.
We just couldn't leave him to cry.
Yeah.
And we tried, and for about 10 seconds once. And then I think it must have been quite far in. It must have been at least 11 months old when I said to my other half, listen, this is it. This time we're going to let him cry. And I timed it. And 90 seconds in, I heard, mummy, mummy. Oh. Imagine he could speak before we thought to let him cry. And he said, mummy, and no one has ever run upstairs faster before or since. So the longest my elder son has ever cried was probably 90.2 seconds as I was up there like the wind. And it's just it's not going to happen in our house, unfortunately. But my children are very happy and they're very content and they love being passed around. You know, like, you can pass around the baby. They're very confident. My son's very popular. But he still sleeps next to me, my toddler, and checks that I'm there in the night.
Was another thing in the Mothercraft manual. Obviously, it's whatever, 70 years old or something. So there's things that are absolutely irrelevant, and things about the kind of feedings that they do, which is like, you know, half a teaspoon of New Zealand cream with some other weird sugar.
Well, they would put rusks into the milk and stuff when I was small to fill the baby up.
Yeah, and so this is like you suck on a piece of bread. Rusks are too sugary. You put bread, crust.
Yeah, well, that's what would make bread, sense.
Yeah, for like three hours in the warm oven and do that. But it's got those similar ideas to the French book about the way that your children or your babies should sleep and how quickly they should be able to sleep.
About the nappies.
Yeah, and they should not be wearing nappies, really, that from a very young age you hold them over a potty.
But you speak to Louis Schaefer about this. He potty trained his children from 3 months, 3 to 6 months. Yeah, and in China that is what they do.
Really?
And I really, really think, considering that there are children at my son's nursery who are over 3 and they're still in nappies, that we are psychologically thinking that's okay because we have Pampers and it seems convenient. And then and also it's moderately inconvenient to potty train your child. But really, honestly, it took me about 20 minutes to potty train my son.
There's a book that I've got stored in my Amazon wish list, which is about this system that you can do for potty training children very young, probably like...
I think with my first son, I tried at about 10 months and it was really easy. He was happy to use a potty and I thought, oh, this is going to be easy, and I didn't pursue it. And then after that, it was a write-off until until about, I don't know, 18 months.
Right.
No, maybe 20 months. But it took like 20 minutes. I just said, oh, that's set then. And he never even had an accident.
Yeah.
But certainly, I know people 3 years, 3.5 years are thinking, goodness me, what's going on? It's that you're now creating an issue, aren't you?
Well, that's it. That feels like, you're sort of, you're putting off something that just, you'd be better off.
It has to just be done.
Yeah.
But I think, and also people have this weird idea, if you wait till the summer, then they can have loads of accidents. Loads of people said to me, don't buy your, make sure you buy really horrible pants because they're going to ruin them all and you have to put them all in the bin. But no, I just bought really nice pants. And so I said, oh, this is exciting.
Yeah.
He could talk and walk. I mean, it was not thick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Child
of mine will wear bad pants.
But you'll really find that you feel strongly about some things. And that I thought the reason why French children don't throw food, I thought the reason that book was so funny is because she's writing from an Anglo-American perspective. And she knows that some of the ways that French people are doing things are better. They're just not the ways that she can do them. Yeah. I don't know if you remember the bit where she's talking about a French person mentions this carousel and she says, I know exactly the carousel that she's talking on because at this point I'm watching my child and I'm so completely on edge about them going around in the corner. And this is when this French lady's done all of her emails and all of her admin and she's sorted out everything for work. And this the American woman is absolutely neurotic that something's going to happen. So it's like a recognition of your own mania. But I would never, the crying thing could never have happened. And I would love to be a different person, but I'm not. I am what I am.
Yeah.
And your children will be very happy because hopefully you'll be doing everything to make them happy. So whatever you're doing, you'll think that you're doing it right because you'll be doing what it is that is required to make your family work.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the important thing is that you agree.
Yeah.
So another friend of mine who was definitely, she thought I was insane when she found out I wasn't doing the crying out thing, but she and her husband had agreed. Like if... The day that I said to Sanjiv about we're going to let him cry, for those 90 seconds, the reason I know it's 90 seconds is because I remember saying to him, it's only 60 seconds, Sanjiv, it's 65 seconds. He was pacing, he was ready to divorce me. So had he not said, mummy, my husband would have cracked. So as long as you two agree, that's the important thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I suspect we've got a similar...
Yeah, but we'll find out things that we are not necessarily on the same page on and have to negotiate. Like when you walked in with about the social media baby thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, excuse me, I've already set up the Instagram account. Yeah. And Carl's
I would never put a photo of a child on any of my social media. If you put a picture of us with a baby on your Facebook, that'd be absolutely fine. I'm just saying I wouldn't. Put it on mine. But that's because mine is... I use mine for...
Work.
Yeah, mine isn't... I don't use it
don't
as a personal...
Don't put things about me on there.
Exactly, because it's my work thing.
Well, I absolutely am not allowed. Not even just of my baby, not of my husband either. And when you're doing stuff like Edinburgh shows, you have a chance to PR it up to the max. And there was one thing, it was like a double page spread where you basically get to bang on about your show. But the premise was that you were pictured in your favourite room in your house, apartment, shoebox. It was nothing to do with where you lived or what how your style was. It was just why this room was important to you. I would never have been allowed to do that either. I say allowed as if I'm some, but it was a sort of, it's always been
it's
a
an
thing.
Agreement.
And I think it's interesting as well, because I talk about my other half on stage and I'm really vile and ruthless and unpleasant about him, but it's a joke and he could never care less what I said about him because he thinks it's a joke. And I can understand, he hasn't said this, I can see that if I was to match up my material with pictures, this is our home, this is what he looks like, this is our children. At the moment, it's just a joke. But if you were to make it real, then it would suddenly be kind of odd and creepy.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think I might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out of his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheating on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Night, I tried. I've been at that point where I'm trying to sleep on my side a bit more because I've heard that you're not supposed to sleep.
You mustn't sleep on your back.
Yeah. So I've been trying to sleep on my side, and I'm not very good at it. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable going to sleep like that. I much prefer sleeping on my back or on my front, which the front is sort of becoming not possible now. There's just a little bump, but it's but it's
you look absolutely gorgeous,
uncomfortable.
You do.
Thanks. anyway. Sleeping on my back is I'm trying to stop doing that, and so I'd put a pillow between my legs, which is what we'd kind of been told initially by Felicity. She was the first one telling us about these huge big pillows that you can sleep
with. I'm a side sleeper, so I've got no drama sleeping on my side, but I had the pelvic girdle thing, so years I've had to have a pillow between my knees.
Have you seen the pregnancy pillows, the big
U-shaped
ones? I mean, I'm already pushing Fanta to buy one because I want to have a go.
Because also they're handy for everything, breastfeeding, really
and naps. I'm thinking naps, just for
but also
naps.
Just when you're reading yourself, really comfortable. Lean back. It's quite a handy pillow to have.
I think they look amazing.
I found it was interesting because they it feels like your legs should just be able to go together and it not be a problem, but I could definitely feel the difference in the comfort of having that pillow between.
Well, then definitely stick with it because that
between my legs,
your hips are going to be moving now as well.
Yeah, that was I saw my acupuncturist this week, and I'd had
love a bit of acupuncture.
Yeah,
which one are you saying?
Her name's Anne Sophie Morell. She's just up at Gracelands near here.
Great believer in Dr. Deng over in Belsize Park.
It took me ages to find one because I've got the best one in Melbourne, and then I would come and see people here every now and then, and never found.
Is your mum going to come over?
Afterwards, I think.
Yeah.
I have no like desire for her to be there at the birth.
No, obviously.
Some people do.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they old enough to be having children?
I've already obviously arranged that our friend Jimmy McGee is going to be present at the birth.
No, you're joking.
He's asked to, and Sean Walsh and Nazal Menelou want to wait outside.
Yeah, it's I just want it to be like a real sort of community thing.
Yeah. Ho. You will not feel like that.
Obviously not.
Fine, just checking. I'm not quite sure. Seeing the pram, you're getting excited about pillow. I'm worried.
Just really embracing this process.
No, it's quite intense. But I had people coming over like the first day I was home.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
and I loved it. I was very emotional. Yeah, I think that seems to be a key theme. I'm very curious to know if you're... I just won't believe it if you say that you're not emotional. I'll ask Carl. I won't ask you.
I think... I mean, I
not
can't...
Not now, but later.
Oh, you can. Go.
As yeah, in the terms of the pregnancy, yeah. I think there's only very, very gentle changes to normal.
Like, and how's your hospital? Because that makes a big difference.
It's fine. We're still...
We haven't been to the birth centre yet.
No, we're going to visit that next week.
Because my first baby I had in Chelsea Hospital, and there was a culture in Chelsea Hospital of everybody. I mean, everybody. Firstly, the...
Is that Queen Charlotte's in Chelsea or is that a different Chelsea?
In Chelsea. Okay. They were so nice. I mean, the receptionist would say, hi.
Yeah.
And the woman doing the scan would be, oh, how amazing. I felt like I was the first person to ever have a baby. And I'm talking about the midwives and the local midwifery centre in Pimlico at every single stage. And at UCLH, which is an incredible hospital if anything goes wrong, my friend's baby is fine. He was born at 26 weeks. So what a miracle hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. But at every single stage of the process, no one was nice to me.
With what, when?
Just generally. When I had my scan, I said, oh, I can't see the baby. She just shrugged, didn't move the screen.
Is this the first baby or second?
This is the second baby.
Oh, really?
So my first
baby. What hospital was the second then?
UCLH.
Oh,
and it's an incredible hospital. I'm not criticising it. And they were amazing when I gave birth.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
But then after I gave birth naturally and it took till 1 a.m. to get a codeine and I had no pain relief.
Wow.
That was irritating. But they just weren't kind, like on the way through.
Yeah.
So when I couldn't see the baby, she just shrugged and didn't move the screen.
And
they had different opinions on because I hemorrhage when I give birth fast. The different opinions on whether or not I should give birth in the birth centre.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, I was hysterical. I was convinced I was going to die.
Yeah.
Thought that they were going to kill me. I thought that I was going to see my toddler again. I got myself into a complete and utter state. And
you're in the hospital. You're in the labour ward.
No, it was in the birth centre.
Yeah.
I gave birth on the floor. I literally gave birth in under an hour. It was a complete and utter traumatic shambles. But, I mean, up to that moment, like just people saying to you that, oh, you're late when I wasn't late, and getting things wrong or not giving me an appointment or just not smiling. It was just the most pathetic things that set you on your path to happiness. Yeah.
But also important things, you know. Like I think everyone we've met so far at where we are has been really nice.
Yeah.
But there was definitely still just a slight drop off from when we were at the IVF clinic.
Yeah.
The Wolfson clinic where we did IVF. Everyone is so nice.
Like, I miss them a little bit.
Yeah. And then actually when they sort of, you finish with them and then you move back into the normal system, there's a slight loss of,
but
everyone's
nice. I think that's interesting because you might have already been set up. So in other words, if you're set up for the important bit, which and for you maybe because you were already in a long process that you were hoping would work for you, maybe your emotional investment has already been reciprocated pleasantly.
And we had a clear idea of sort of what was happening rather than just getting pregnant and going, oh, right, I have to go to the hospital now or do a scan. Like, it was quite clear what we had to do next. We were getting appointments.
Yeah.
And we knew what was
absolutely broken by the end of my second pregnancy. And I was confident and everything. It wasn't even just because people weren't nice to me. First pregnancy, I was in incredible. It was incredible. Incredible. Just people just like, hi. Just a smile.
Yeah.
It was free. It was free. That was the weirdest thing. And it was clean. Clean. Mm. What a clean hospital. Not the kind of hospital you go into the toilet and you think, Jesus Christ, what am I going to catch? You know, it was clean and smiling. I think, wow, those are the two key. I don't even think of something. I mean, listen, you just want everything to go right. Actually, what am I talking about? The most important thing is a healthy baby.
I had an appointment with our second midwife just the other day. And because we'd been to a first children's centre where we met with a midwife who I really liked. She was really cool. She was also pregnant. So I was a bit like, oh, well, she's not going to be here the whole time, but I still like her. And then she changed our centre to a different one because she said that was closer to us. So I was already a bit like, oh, it's not going to be as good. Yeah. And I went to it and it was fine. She was nice. She wasn't as good, but she was nice. And there, because we are still talking about home birth. Like, that's an option.
My brother-in-law's a paediatrician. He said it's going back in time. He said it's absolutely fine if there's nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
He said, but the tiniest thing goes wrong and you lose your baby. Sorry to be dramatic.
Yeah.
But he told me about a terrible case. He said, this is the most simple thing. If this had happened in a hospital, there is no drama.
Yeah.
And the midwife just didn't have the medicine to give the woman an injection. She lost her baby. Sorry to be...
Yeah.
But he said it is absolutely... He went on and on and on about it. And he does yoga.
Yeah.
He's not even I'm not even talking about some old fuddy-duddy who doesn't understand anything. You'd really him. You see eye to eye on him. You would actually get on well with this man. And he could not have been more dramatic. And also because the government's encouraging home births because they're cheaper.
Yes.
But don't have one.
That was it. Yeah, when I mentioned it to her, she was like, oh, she was kind of responded, oh, great. But I still had a thing in my mind that I thought that people weren't particularly supportive of that idea.
Yeah, I thought my assumption was the same, that they'd push you towards...
But then it hospital. Makes sense in terms of the hospital space and the birth centre space that they're going.
For my first baby, I arrived at the hospital like 6 centimetres dilated. I woke up in full labour, having contractions every 90 seconds. I could birth really, really quickly. And the only reason he didn't come out even faster, like I was crowning. By the time I was in the birth pool, he was already coming out.
Yeah.
But he had his arm up, so there was meconium. Mm-hmm. Now, meconium can get into a baby's lungs and kill the baby. But because I was... next, even though I was in the birth center, because they could take me across the hospital, the baby was fine.
Yeah.
And then I hemorrhaged so really badly.
Yeah.
And I was having a natural birth. I'd listened to those shitty hypnobirthing tapes. I was not trying to have a medicalized procedure, but I still had an episiotomy and an emergency and a hemorrhage.
Yeah.
And that was quite smooth.
I guess one of my thoughts about it, because people that we've spoken to who have planned on, say, going to the birth center often don't get that option and just get moved straight into the labor ward or into the hospital bit. And I've been like, well, if we were doing home birth and something happened, then it would be here and we could go straight to the labor ward. Like that difference of being just next door and going straight
there. Well, I would. Home. So I gave birth to my second son in under an hour.
Mm.
And I hemorrhaged then as well.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even have gas and air for him. They couldn't physically get me from the corner. I was on the floor and there was no gas and air in that room. Because I wasn't in a room. I was just in a, like, you know, like a little side room that you're not supposed to be in, because they didn't have time to clean out a room for me. Oh, the baby was just coming out. So what I mean is that if I had been having that baby at home, well when I hemorrhaged, how would they have fixed it? I mean, maybe they could have fixed it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do you know what? I really wouldn't bother. And if you don't mind me saying so, not at 40 either.
Yeah. No, that's all. They're all things that
even a secret, because you said that you were 40. No,
I'm telling
a great believer in lying about your age, but you want to go with it, whatever.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
By the way, I'm sure you're going to have lots of hippies writing in and abusing me. Fuck off, no. But I really believe no home birth, no.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear and your experience from that. Because I'm definitely not wed to that idea. But it had been.
It's also just if, let's say, your placenta was the wrong way around, or the baby didn't move, or there was meconium, or for anything more dramatic than you're thinking.
Yeah.
Mm. Anything that takes a minute extra time.
Yeah.
Is a minute of a meconium being in your baby's lungs is.
And a meconium's the
green stuff where basically they shit themselves. Yeah. So my son was coming out so fast, and obviously he was stuck, which we didn't realize. Yeah, yeah. So he could have panicked, or maybe it was that I was a week overdue.
Yes.
You don't know.
Yeah,
but if that gets into the lungs, it happened to Sanderson's baby, didn't it? Sanderson Jones, because he was writing about it on Instagram, so I don't think it's a secret. But his son had meconium in the lungs, and it can be fatal.
Yeah.
So,
he's a bit of a hippie, isn't he?
Yeah.
Would that be hospital, or would that?
I think that was. They were definitely in hospital in the pictures that he was posting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not something I'm not sharing anything private, but
even
just you should have seen it going code red and. Chelsea, I mean, it was interesting.
Yeah.
As because only 3 seconds out of it, you look so serene. So there I was in the pool.
Yeah.
This is so great. And really, like, just absolutely nailing this. And the next minute, help, he's shat himself. Like them thing. Whoa. But I just think, also, by the way, I'm absolutely confident you're going to have a totally serene, wonderful, amazing, beautiful birth that you could have easily had here in your sitting room. Again, why would you want to clean up that fucking mess?
Yeah, it's true.
It is a messy, messy business.
That is very true.
You know, no thanks. Have to get new floors. So I was, I mean, even from a practical perspective, I wouldn't bother. But from just the outlying risk.
Yes.
Take no risks. This is about to be the greatest thing ever. And everything about it is going to be new and full on. Don't need to add to the drama.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes.
Very good.
Now you need to get a home birth expert on next week. Going the other way.
Well, yeah. I don't know that. Yeah, we haven't spoken to anyone yet who's had a home birth. There was that one podcast, wasn't there? Deliciously Ella, she had one.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
In a pool at home.
Silly cow. Terrible mistake. She's very lucky she got away with it. And
I think she was 25 or something as well.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference?
I probably.
Yeah.
You know. When you mentioned hypnobirthing, did you do that then? Because obviously, I think so far, that's been a recurring thing. Some people have spoken about very positively. Was Bryony Kimmins was raving about it.
Well, I have a joke about it because I really did find her voice so irritating.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember that.
I just couldn't really get into it. Yeah. But I did find, I did feel so confident. I felt so happy.
Yeah.
So
that the birth was going to be
put. Yeah, and I really, I've read a really hippie book. Oh my God, I've got to find out what it is. What is it? It's a big book and it's all about these women giving birth on the land in America.
Is that Ina May Gaskill's?
Yes!
I've got it. I'm about to start reading it.
Oh my God! Now, she obviously is a great home birth believer and, well, because she's an amazing midwife and she's delivered thousands of babies in some field. And I knew from speaking to my brother-in-law that I was always going to have my baby in a hospital because that if anything went wrong, I was going to be in a hospital. But I did find reading her book amazing. One of the things that she's describing in it, please don't let me talk too much.
Good.
But one of the things she describes in it is basically you dilate, right?
Yeah.
And so that the baby can come out. Mm. But if someone goes into the room or the space that you don't like, a vagina can shut like a Venus flytrap. Bang. So 1 second you're 6 centimetres dilated. The next you've shut up shop. You're 1.5 centimetres gone. You've got to start the whole process again because someone's looked at you wrong and made you feel uncomfortable.
Well, what's the hormone?
Obviously my whole birth.
What's the hormone that's meant to ease it? The hormone that is the
oxytocin.
Yeah. Isn't that sort of regulated by your mood as well at the time?
Yes.
So that, and if your mood's changed to a negative, that can lower the oxytocin.
Yeah, and they also, when they give you that to induce your labour, it's apparently very painful if it comes in the wrong
space. They give it to you as an injection or something.
They give you, I don't know how they deliver it, maybe through
gas.
I don't know how they deliver it because I didn't need it. I certainly am not someone that needs to be induced. Just fucking hell. I'm sorry about the language because people might be listening to this, cut out all the swearing.
No, it's fine.
I think that, I didn't have a problem with that, but I think that's the chemical that they give you if you're going to be induced. Yeah. It can be painful because it's not the natural amount that would be released spontaneously into your system.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about you're glowing and you're having a really nice pregnancy.
Yeah.
My friend, she had such terrible hyperemesis that her kidneys failed and she had to have about 12 scans, you know. So I think if you're lucky enough to be having a really amazing, healthy, fabulous pregnancy, I was lucky like that. I had the best time. Greatest time. Let me have another baby.
Yeah. But we were talking the other night about yoga.
Yes. Now I said,
this is another warning story.
Yeah. I had a lot of relaxing.
Yeah.
I've got hyperextension anyway.
Yeah, I can see that you're flexible the way you're sitting.
And I was doing yoga and I wasn't doing hot room yoga because I'm not supposed to do hot room yoga. But I was like, wow, I'm still so bendy. The room isn't even warm and wee. And I was only doing pregnancy yoga. But one day I woke up and I couldn't walk at all. And I had that pelvic girdle thing when your pelvis just moves apart too soon from the relaxing.
Yeah.
And it's horrible even now. It click, 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 clicks. Because apparently your hormones still aren't quite right when you're breastfeeding. And so it's not going to go totally back to normal until I stop.
Yeah. So this was in yoga post birth or no,
this is
prenatal
yoga. Yeah. And I just encouraged. I just basically move my pelvis too quickly because you have so much relaxing going in. And I would highly recommend prenatal Pilates, which is superb, but they're working on all the right muscles to keep your hips and everything together. You don't need to be floating about until the last minute.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly painful, pelvic girdle thing, and you can't get NHS help for it. I went to the hospital to have NHS help. And I felt so sad because I was in this room and I was the only English speaking person there. And there's the midwife trying to explain, or the doctor trying to explain what's happened to your sacroiliac joints. And I was thinking, sacroiliac joints, even I've never heard of sacroiliac joints. So how is someone supposed to understand, you know, one Polish girl, one woman from Somalia, where no one can walk and they're having to wait. And you get a lecture and then you can maybe get some physio later down the line. But most of these people, by the time they could have had help, they would have been giving birth. Yeah. So you really want to keep your sacroiliac great, and if you do have a problem with it, there's a pelvic girdle partnership, and they recommend people that can give you physio. And each of those physios that are recommended have been recommended by at least two people who've had pelvic girdle issues. So I had a genius Irish woman in London who I went into her office weeping, and I couldn't walk, and I left walking happily.
And how far into your pregnancy were you?
I must have been about 6 months in. Okay. And then I saw her for the last 3 months of my pregnancy. And this time it happened really fast, but I knew it was going to happen. And I basically didn't exercise at all.
Yeah. So, and that was something that over that 3 months then was still healing and still.
No, I just had to continually keep everything in alignment.
Yeah.
So, and basically undo all my yoga.
Yeah.
But the second time around, I just didn't do anything. I should have done Pilates, but I was so busy with a toddler and I tried to sleep.
I get scared. Like I've been doing just some very short yoga things at home. I'm not particularly flexible. I'll be happy to get a bit more relaxing to get a bit more bendy. But just doing a few sort of poses at home, I'm a bit scared to go to a full class because I think
just
it'll
go
be hard.
To prenatal Pilates.
But prenatal is that hard or is it?
It's
not too
so
hard?
Easy.
Is it nice.
It's so easy. And also, have you ever done Pilates?
Twice.
Oh, well, firstly, it's completely dictated by you. So you're being told to do X, Y, or Z, and then you literally do as much as you can.
Yeah.
So that it's not possible to do too much because, well, you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
You know, they'd say, and another one, and you just wouldn't manage to do it.
I do that usually. So.
Yeah, perfect. So you'll set your own pace accidentally. And the prenatal Pilates is really fantastic. I went there to recover prenatally and postnatally.
My acupuncturist also said to do prenatal Pilates.
Yeah, so she's right.
I'm going to look around for some classes.
Yeah.
And maybe go and do that. Carl, did you have any questions or thoughts?
I suppose the question I tend to ask guests is, what do you recommend the partner of somebody who's pregnant? Is there anything I should be wary of, keen to learn? What can I do to feel more helpful and productive?
My husband in my first pregnancy kept saying things like, I really want you to have the best pregnancy because it's your pregnancy. And that made me feel really emotional.
Yes.
Just thinking about it, I feel emotional again. And then when we were in hospital, he really thought that I was just the most incredible person. He couldn't hide his admiration. He didn't even try to. And he kept, for weeks afterwards, he had this sort of look on his face as he remembered the birth. And he'd be like, I just can't believe you did that. Incredible.
Now, so it's more sort of praise is the thing.
It was absolute admiration.
Yes.
So it was just generous kindness.
Yeah.
And then it was absolute admiration. The second pregnancy, none of the generous kindness, not remotely interested. We'd already done it. And after the birth, came home, said to my mother in front of me, pretty easy this time, the baby just popped out and started talking about his flu. I'm not even kidding. And excellent. I was upset for weeks. I'm still angry. And it's 9 months later, livid.
All right. So it's more just be...
pretty basic, Carl.
Praise and admiration. That's good. That's a good tip. No one said that so far.
No.
Well done, Hannah, on your work so far.
Thank you very much.
You're doing very well. I'm very proud
of you.
See,
that sounds like sarcasm.
It does sound. See, now it sounds sarcastic.
Yeah, but I think that the admiration will come naturally. Yeah, just totally. Kindness might be unnatural, so work on that until the birth.
I'm admiration, overwhelmingly kind.
Admiration will be natural.
Yes.
It's the second one you got to worry about. Get me back to give you some top tips for the second one.
Okay, sure.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of stuff there, which is really good. And you taught, but not too much. Definitely not too much. The best thing about doing this is that talking to different people and finding out things from them. I learn something every time, and there's always things to think about and go.
Think of all the poor, disinterested men in green rooms up and down the country are hearing all this crap about giving birth. They do not want to know.
Well, hopefully they can listen to this and be very interested.
Yes.
And support and admire and be kind to their partners. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
And you had a nice few hours
out. I have. I'm just thinking, damn it, got to go back to the babysitter now.
All right, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before. These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose I mustn't have a bash in the head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Big Owl.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.